there are millions of silent, undercover believers who never, ever share the word of Jesus Christ with anybody. And Paul says, devote yourself to prayer that we can start proclaiming. The gospel is simply the good news that can be proclaimed in a lot of different ways. Every believer, you are an instrument of God's glory, and you have a light that needs to shine.
This is Jared G. Martin, and welcome to The Light of the World. Paul encouraged the believers to devote themselves to prayer. We don't have to stand by and feel like we are hopeless or helpless. If we are a believer, we have the power of God available to us through prayer. Listen to this message today as we continue to share the word of God with you on how to devote yourself to prayer. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's word.
It was in the book of Luke, chapter 18, where Jesus said to his disciples, they should always pray and not give up. If you have the King James, it says you should always pray and not faint. Jesus knew what he was talking about because he was emphasizing the power and the influence of prayer. The power and the influence of prayer. Prayer influences God, and prayer moves God, and God moves mountains. In our lesson last time, we talked about a scripture in the book of Colossians chapter 4 that Paul was writing to the church. Paul was in chains in prison, and he said this to them, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So Paul is saying, I've been proclaiming it. That's why I'm locked up. Pray in verse 4 that I may proclaim it clearly. It doesn't sound like he's finished. I want to proclaim it clearly as I should, and be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul, he said a mouthful there in instructions to us. And if we're going to be effective in ministry, these are some instructions that we ought to take to heart. And in your Bible, you ought to just go and underline every phrase that give you some instructions. He said, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to being watchful. Devote yourself to being thankful. Pray that God may open a door. Pray that we can proclaim. Watch how you treat outsiders, those that are not in your circle of belief. Watch how you treat folks in the waiting room when you go to MD Anderson. There's an opportunity there. Take advantage of the opportunity. Don't be so holy, can't nobody get along with you. Nobody can talk to you, and you don't have a good personality. One thing I hate to be around is grumpy Christians. That's got an issue, an attitude. Like, what's wrong with you? The joy of the Lord. Come on, brother, smile at me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to be around some people that's got some joy. How can somebody want to hear your message if they can't look at your face? You have to win people to you before you can win them to the Lord. You ought to just walk into a place and the place light up because you walked in. Good morning. How is everybody in here? Somebody said, what's so good about it? Oh, here's an opportunity. If there's one thing I can pray for you personally, what would it be? Things are going to change. If prayer is the key to unlock heaven's doors of blessings and resources, it seemed that we ought to make it more of a priority in our lives. If it's a key where Jesus said you ought to always pray and not faint, and Paul said you need to devote yourself to prayer, it seems like they have a good understanding of what it's going to take to be effective in the kingdom of God. Now, we're talking about the kingdom of God now. We're not talking about the kingdom of this world. We're not talking about the kingdom of darkness. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And when you got saved, you stepped out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And there's a whole different set of rules and principles that you need to function by if you're going to be successful. So in the kingdom of darkness, it's a dog-eat-dog world. We work as hard as we can and we pull the person down that's ahead of us so we can get in ahead of them. But you don't do that in the kingdom of God. It is God who opens the door for you. It's God who places you. His grace is poured out upon you. If you know what you have access to, you would spend more time talking to the Lord in prayer. So if we're going to be available, and we've been talking about being available to do the work of the Lord effectively, prayer has to be a vital part of that enterprise. Because there are some things that we want to do for God, but God might not want us to do that for him at the moment. And then we just get this idea and we want to do that and we'll take it and we'll just run with it. And God says, that's okay, it's good, but it's not the time for you to do that. You say, well, I'm called. Well, you need to be more than called. You also need to be appointed. And you need to be more than appointed, you need to be anointed. So you can be called and not appointed. And you can be appointed and not anointed. So you need to be called, appointed, and anointed. And God will anoint you when you have connected with him about what to do and when to do it and where to do it. Amen. Jesus didn't go to the hospital and empty it all out and healed everybody. Remember, he went to the pool of Bethesda. There was people sitting all around. He only healed one person. I wonder why, you're the healer, why don't you just go clean it out? He said, God didn't tell me to do that. How do you know? Because I talk to him every day and I ask him, Lord, what do you want to do today? Everybody Jesus prayed for got healed, but he did not pray for everybody. So if you want to be effective in ministry, you want to kind of hear what God is saying. You can react appropriately and timely and you can speak what he speaks and say what he says. And then you can have what you say. Jesus is our example for praying and being effective in ministry. I want to share some scriptures with you because I want to encourage us, all of us, to reorient ourselves and step up our prayer life so that we can interact with God a lot more consistently so that he can speak to us about what he wants to do today. Jesus said for a particular purpose, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I want my daily substance. I want to know today what you want to do. Feed me today. Tomorrow I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about what you want to get done today. In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. No, he's not talking about Peter. He's not talking about Judas who needed some prayer. This is Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, walking among us. He's been to heaven. He knows, he says the Father and I are one. And it said he didn't go out there to pray. He said he spent the night praying. Why does Jesus need to pray if he already knows the mind of God? Jesus felt like, I need to go out there. I need to fellowship with my Father. I need to talk to him. I need to hear him. I need to be clear we're on the same page. I need to go and interact with him. And we're just fellowshipping and having a good time. He said he spent the night praying. Now, what happened when you try to spend the night praying? You go to sleep right away. Don't try to spend the night praying. Some people say, well, Pastor, when we come to prayer, we walk around and whatever. Because if you have people on their knees for an hour worth of prayer, you got to wake them up to go home. All they listen for is one word, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Hallelujah. So you get up and you walk around so you won't go to sleep. In Mark chapter 1, verse 32, the scripture says this, that evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now look at that. Jesus is doing a mighty work. He got a deliverance service going on. I mean, church was good that night. The people were coming. The sick was getting healed. The demons were getting cast out. People were getting delivered. And I mean, they were lining up, and I mean, they was falling all over the place. He laid hands on them and stuff would happen. He told the demon, shut up. Don't you say nothing. The demon said, what you doing, man? You about to kill us. He said, no, don't you say nothing. And they didn't speak. And then look what it says in verse 35. Very early. How early? Very early. While it was still dark, after a long night of preaching and healing and ministering, very early, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he did what? He prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Why are they looking for him? Because, man, we had such good church last night, we ready to start having church this morning. We can have a morning service. Come on. The line is already forming for more healing, more deliverance, more casting out demons, more of your blessings to flow. The line is already forming. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else. Now, what preacher that's got a line form for the next service going to decide he's going to go somewhere else? I mean, we haven't even taken up the offering. We ain't going nowhere else. But this is the point. Jesus said, I've been out there talking to the Father, and the Father said, go somewhere else. It's not my will, it's his will. Now, if it's my will, it's in the natural, oh, yeah, these people are waiting. Come on, go pray for them. Go and start that service again. The news is getting around. You're getting more popular, and people are calling on your name. They're hollering, waiting for you. Jesus said, I'm finished with that, and I must go to the next thing that God has me to do. One of our problems is when we see God working in a way, we try to duplicate it and keep doing it over and over the same way, and we wonder why we run out of steam and nothing's happening. You got to learn how, if you hear from God, God says, we're through with that in that place. I got somewhere else for you to go and something else for you to do. You might go to a place or somewhere. You might go in the post office and the Spirit of the Lord move upon you and you talk to two or three people and you pray for them in the post office and God moves in a supernatural way and people get healed and what have you. Don't go and say you got a post office ministry. I'm going back to the post office tomorrow. I got a post office minute. In fact, I'm going to all the post offices. I got the post office anointing. No, God was just working at that time. And then you want to see what he's going to do next. Lord, what do you want to do next? So we're going to mess up. Now we got a post office ministry. Then they got to run you out of the place and you in jail because you're thinking, no, it's better to obey God than man. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. And then he said, that is why I have come. I have come not just to heal the sick. I've come not just to cast out demons. I came to preach the good news. And I want to go there so I can preach there also. That's why I came. Jesus always knew his purpose, and he got his purpose re-emphasized when he would go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? How do we apply that in our lives? Every morning, every day. Lord, you know where I'm going. You know who's going to interact with me. I'm available, and you just lead me and guide me of what to do and how to do and if I need to do something or whatever. I'm available. I ain't got to make it up. I don't have to try to arrange it, make it happen or whatever, but God, I'm available. Don't try to duplicate what happened yesterday. You'll miss what God wants to do. So that's why we got to spend some time and say, Lord, I need to hear from you. In Luke chapter 5, talking about Jesus again, in verse 15, the Bible says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We're going to have to figure out how to withdraw to a lonely place. And that means cutting your phone off. Not putting it on vibrate, because you hear it vibrate while you're praying and you want to see who it is. Turn it off. It'll come back on. We need to have a phone fast and just fast for half a day. Some of y'all believe, oh, I can't make it. Yeah, you can make it. You shall live and not die. I prophesy. I can't do without that. Yeah, you can do without that. Jesus often withdrew. Do you ever withdraw into your place? Do you have your prayer place where you can go to? I ain't talking about, yeah, I go to my car, I pray while I'm driving. That ain't no lonely place. You're not closing your eyes and getting into the presence of God while you're driving. You don't want to try that. Because I believe God, I got faith, I'm just going to go into his presence. You got your eyes closed on the beltway. That will not last long. Is there any wonder that the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray? Why would they ask him that? Because they've observed him. They're looking. They're seeing the effectiveness of his ministry. And they are equating the effectiveness with his prayer life. Teach us. They didn't say teach us to pray. They say teach us how to pray. I don't want to just pray. I want some effective prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, availing much. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just recount the words. I want to look and see how we can get God's attention through our prayer life. And Jesus knew that you can't just go and throw up one of those microwave prayers and get God's attention when you got some deep things that need to be done in your life. He prayed all night. He went to a solitary place. He withdrew so he can say, God, it's just me and you. We need to talk, and I need to hear. I need to listen. I need to rest. I need to talk some more. I need to get quiet so I can hear when you're talking to me. I probably need to teach y'all how to pray, because you just want to run down there with your list and go through all of your list, and then as soon as you get through, amen, and you're gone. And God just had got him a cup of coffee, was getting ready to sit down and listen, and you're through. What was that they wanted? They got through so quick, I didn't even get that. No, you come into his presence with thanksgiving. And you praise and say, Lord, I'm just here to visit with you. Now, that get him to listen to you a whole lot quicker than you running in there with a list. Hey, I got my list, Lord. Let me go through this list, because I got to get on out of here. Paul is saying to the church then in Colossians, there are some things that we really need. Why does he want us to devote ourselves to prayer and to watchfulness? And to thanksgiving, he says, here's what we need. We need a door opened for the message of the gospel. And if that door is not open, we can be available all we want to, but nothing's going to happen if that door is not open for the message. We don't open the door for the message. The power of God opened the door for the message. The Spirit of God opens the door for the message. We want to have the Spirit of God go before us so that that door can be open. There are spiritual forces that resist the spreading of the gospel. It's not a one-way enterprise where we're just going in and we're having the gospel. There's some pushback. There's the enemy that's been dug in for generations and all in the lives of people. And they got strongholds and demonic forces, and they are resisting the gospel. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers and stopped up their ears where they can't hear and they can't see. So there's resistance. Paul says, pray that there's a door open for the message. There is an adversary that wants to keep people in bondage. The devil is not just handing them over to the believers. Okay, I don't want him anyway. Y'all get him. There is also institutional resistance. There are institutions that are resisting the spread of the gospel, the message of the gospel. A lot of times in our colleges and institutes of higher learning, they are purposefully resisting anything of a Christian nature. God opens the door for the message to go far. He said, pray for that so that when you start speaking, the door is open. Secondly, Paul says, pray that we will proclaim the mysteries of Christ, and we can do so clearly. There are so many of us who have the gospel, but we don't proclaim it. So he says, pray not only is the door open for the message, but when the door is open, that there is somebody who's going to proclaim it. somebody who's going to speak the message of the gospel. And the gospel is the good news that Jesus saves. I mean, it's all right to tell them that when the praise go up, the blessings come down, but throw the gospel in there. Say, Lord, I want to share the good news. We want to talk about everything else, but we don't want to talk about the good news, Jesus saved. Listen, Jesus can change your life. I just want to tell you, he can change your life. You can say all you want to. You know, you need to be in church. You need to have a relationship with other Christians. You need a fellowship, a place you can fellowship. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus saves. He changed your life. He gives you eternal life. He says, I want to be able to talk about the mysteries of Christ. And not only do I want to proclaim it, I want to proclaim it boldly. There are millions of silent, undercover believers who never, ever share the word of Jesus Christ with anybody. And Paul says, devote yourself to prayer that we can start proclaiming. The gospel is simply the good news that can be proclaimed in a lot of different ways. Every believer, you are an instrument of God's glory, and you have a light that needs to shine. Every one of you, if you're saved, you got a light that needs to shine. Don't use your flashlight as a battering ram. It is a light to shine in a dark place. And the darker it is, the brighter any light will shine. You don't have to make it shine. He said, let it shine. You don't have to make it shine. Just let it shine. Turn it on. It'll do what it's supposed to do. We're not just to proclaim it, but to do so clearly. So many people are intimidated when they try to share their faith. I don't know enough and what have you. Well, that's one of the primary reasons that we encourage you and challenge you to take your classes and have systematic studies in the Word. And you may not know it now, but as you go through those systematic studies, when God get ready to use you, he's going to bring all things back to your remembrance. You're going to say, I didn't even realize I knew that. Yeah, well, you learned that when you were going through your studies. The more you are equipped, the more God can use you. Now, he can use you as soon as you get saved. He can use you to reach somebody else. But the more you know, the more he can use you. The more equipped you are, the more he can use you. Our motivation for sharing the gospel is because God loved the world so much and that we ought to love the world as well. Do we want people to be saved? You know, we're still crossing that line. Do we want people to be saved? There's somebody I didn't even want to invite them to come and hear about the Lord. I didn't like them. But do you want people to come to Christ? Yes, I want people to come to Christ. Why? Because God loves them and God give me a compassion for people. Or are you one of those who just say, as long as I'm going to heaven, everybody else is going to have to get there on their own? Aren't we glad for whoever prayed for you didn't have that attitude? Somebody labored, somebody prayed, somebody asked God to touch your life. Your grandmother, your grandfather, your sister, your brother, somebody say, Lord, save my child.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and there are believers all over the world and all over the country that are taking time this month to pray. Many of you are in a season of fasting and prayer, and that is exactly what we need in our country today. This week is a monumental week as we are expecting the transition of our presidency, and with all of the turmoil that's been going on around the political activities, we need to come and stand in the gap for our nation. It was God who says, I was looking for a man who would stand in the gap so I would not have to destroy the nation. Would you be one of the people who are standing in the gap, one who will intercede on behalf of the nation and on behalf of the people? We need God's presence. We need God's power to do a miraculous thing to bring unity and to bring civility. I would like to give you an opportunity to come and be our guest at the Light of the World. We are still meeting in person every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're in North Houston on Old Humble Road. We're near Highway 59 north of the Beltway. This is a place where you can believe, a place where you can belong. You may be listening to me and you are not connected to a church family. We welcome you to come and join with us. You may also join us online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. If you are in a place where you need prayer, call our prayer line number right now at 281-964-1393. That's 281-964-1393, and we will agree with you in prayer. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.